Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Psalm 19:14 says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The message today, the sermon today is simply this: I believe our words are powerful. I believe our words are powerful. Let's pray and ask God to bless the message today. Father God, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. Bless this message. Help it to be a help to your people. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for being so good to us. Help this message on our tongue, on our words, to resonate in the hearts of these hearers, of these people. Lord, help me. Lord, my words are important today. Please fill me with your Spirit. Help me not to say something I shouldn't say. And help me to say all the things that you'd like me to say, that you want me to say. Father God, we love you. We need you. And we ask for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message title is, I Believe Our Words Are Powerful. There's an old story of a young boy that lived on a farm. And this young boy, like many young boys, had a short temper, had a bad temper. I was one of those young boys. And he would often lash out and maybe insult people or talk back or whatever it may be, speak unkindly. And his father, finally, as they're trying to raise him right and teach him these lessons, his father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper or said something hurtful, that he should take that bag of nails and take a hammer and go out to the fence out in the yard and drive a nail into the backyard fence. Every time he lost his temper, spoke an unkind word, used his words unkindly. So over the next few weeks, this boy drove dozens and dozens and dozens of nails into that fence. And he started to see the effects of his words as that fence began to be full of nails sticking out of it. And over the next few weeks, he began to make some changes. He realized the damage that he was causing with his words. As he saw that fence begin to be full of nails sticking out and bent and all messy and all just really destroying the fence, he started to realize how much he was speaking unkindly. And as he improved, his father told him to remove a nail for each kind word he spoke, for each time that he was patient or loving with his words. So eventually, the fence was clear of nails, but it was still full of holes. The father said to him, "Son, you've done well, but look at the fence. It's not the same. Every time you say something in anger, it leaves a scar just like these holes." And that's the power of our words, church. Whether you think you are important or your voice is important or not, your words, my words, are powerful. They may be forgiven, but they still leave marks. They still leave scars. The Bible teaches us that our words carry great weight. Our words can heal, but our words can hurt. Our words can uplift, and our words can also destroy. Our words can bless. We sang this morning the blessing from the book of Numbers, but our words can also curse and hurt. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 19, a psalm of David, David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Why did the psalmist say that? Why was that his prayer? Because our words matter to God. Kids today in the room, even as kids, as children in second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, whatever it may be, your words are important and your words matter to God. They matter to God. Your word, even as a kid, your words that you say can hurt people, can hurt feelings. Your words can help people too, though. So we have three things today. Three things about our words and how they're powerful and how we need to speak in our lives according to the word of God. Number one is this, point number one, our words can build up. Our words can build up. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Paul, who wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians here, Paul reminds us that our speech, the words we say, the conversations that we have, our words, our speech should be edifying, which means our words should build people up, not tear them down. Words are like bricks. They either build walls or they build bridges. A kind word, spoken in truth, spoken authentically, a kind word can restore a marriage. A word of encouragement from you can keep someone from giving it up and quitting. A godly rebuke even, spoken in love, can rescue someone from a wrong path. As a parent, I know more than ever that my words can build up. The words that I say to my sons, to my boys, matter to them. When I open my mouth and I speak to my boys, or I'm trying to teach them something, my words should build them up. As a pastor, listen, I'm going to speak truth. I'm going to preach the word of God for what it says. Sometimes it's going to hurt people's feelings. I'm going to preach, but I can tell you what I won't do. I won't speak my own opinion or make it personal to where I'm just being a jerk with my words. I want my preaching, even if it's truth that you don't want to hear, to build up the listener. To build you up, to know that, hey, you might be going on the wrong path, but by the grace of God, you can make adjustments and follow Him. Amen. Our words can and should build up. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet words, kind words aren't just nice things to say. No. Our words, our kind words spoken in love can bring healing to a hurting soul. Just like honey strengthens and soothes, so do kind and gracious words spoken by each and every one of us. This applies in the home as a parent or as a spouse. It applies in the church and it applies out in the world. Our words can build up. Who in your life, my friend, needs building up today? Who in your life needs building up today? Your spouse might need to hear you say, hey, you know what, honey? I'm thankful for you. You know what, honey? I know you work hard and this and that. I just want you to know that I'm grateful for you and I love you. Our words should build up. When's the last time you thanked your spouse for what they do? I don't mean just, oh, thanks for dinner. It was delicious. I'm talking about genuine, hey, you know what? I just want you to know, thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Your children may need to hear you say, hey, you know what, I'm proud of you. Hey, you can do it. Hey, I know this is tough, but I believe in you. Some of you grew up not hearing those things. Some of you grew up in homes where you didn't hear your dad say, I love you. You didn't hear your mom say, I'm proud of you. And I'm sorry for that. But parents today, don't make the same mistakes that your parents might have made. No, you can start and break the generational curse right now in your life and in your family. And you can speak words that build your children up. Words that heal their soul. Man, you think you're the only one talking to your kids? You think you're the only voice that they hear? You know what I hate about the devil? He doesn't wait till you're 18 to start messing with you. He doesn't wait till you're a legal adult to start speaking lies to your mind. No, even at a young age, the enemy will lie to our kids and say, you're not enough. You're not good enough. Your parents really don't care. You don't really have any. And he'll lie to them. And kids, if you hear that in your mind, let me tell you, the devil's a liar. And God loves you and your parents love you. And this church loves you, and we care about you. Believe that. Our words can build up. A struggling believer may need to hear you say, not just me from the pastor, but they may need to hear you say out in the lobby one day, hey, you know what? God's, I know you're going through a lot, but God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. God is writing your story. Just hold on a little bit longer. Think about someone this week, church. Think about someone this week that you can intentionally build up with your words. Maybe it is a spouse. Maybe it is a child. Maybe it's a friend or a coworker or someone. Think about someone that you can intentionally build up with your words this week and speak a word to them that strengthens. Make a call. Send a text even. Write a letter. I don't care. Use your words to build up. Let your mouth be a channel of grace this week. Our words can build up. And also, when it comes to our words building up, consider your speech just daily in regular, everyday, mundane experiences. Do your words reflect Christ at your job? Do your words reflect Christ out on 28 in rush hour traffic? All God's people said, no, it does not, including the pastor. Our words must reflect Christ. Hey, you know what? You have that coworker that irritates you. I know you do. But don't sit in the break room and talk about him to the other coworkers. You say, well, yeah, that's sin. That's sin. Gossip is sin. Even through text message, gossip is sin. Do your words, whether spoken or typed out or texted out, do your words reflect Christ at work, at home, in the car, in the checkout line, at Dunkin' Donuts when they get your coffee wrong for the second time? Do your words reflect Christ? Let every interaction, listen, let every interaction that you have be an opportunity to edify and build up somebody else. Write that down. Let every interaction this week be an opportunity to edify, to build somebody up. You say, but that's really difficult. That's why God gives grace. Sure, you can't do it on your own. Neither can I. But the grace of God is enough for you to use every interaction this week with your spouse, with your children, with your boss, with the person at Dunkin', whoever. Every interaction can be used to edify and build up. Out in the lobby, I don't care. Use every interaction to build somebody up. Our words can build up. James 3 says this, even so, the tongue is a little member, which means it's a small part of the body, but it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That scripture, you can kind of take it and say, hey, you know what? The kind words that we say can change a life. They can build somebody up and change your life. Praise God for it. But the second point is this. Our words can break down. Our words can break down. Yes, they can build up, but our words can break down. Even so, the tongue, a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. James, who wrote the book of James, the letter, James paints a sobering picture here. He uses this illustration of the tongue being like a little fire. The tongue may be small, but it is deadly. Like a spark that can burn down a forest. We've seen over the past few years the California fires and how it just took out so many acres and miles and full towns. And they say that they believe it started just from a little campfire. Destroyed towns, full cities. People lost everything. Like a spark that can burn down a forest. One sentence can destroy trust. One sentence, one word can crush a spirit. One word, one lie, one piece of gossip can ruin a reputation. Our words can break down. Our words can hurt. Our words can break down. And I know, I don't have to ask, I have no doubt that every one of us have been on the receiving end of cruel words at some point or another. All of us have been on the receiving end. Kids in the room, maybe someone at school was picking on you, saying mean things about you, and you know that that hurts. And maybe, and kids, I'll tell you, there were times when I was in school, when I was your age, that I used my words to hurt people, that I made fun of kids. Listen, now, nowadays you got a lot of the kids on Fortnite and all the gaming, and they have the headphones, and it's very easy probably sometimes to use your words even in that. Man, you stink. Come on, man. And we use our words to hurt people. Listen, that's not what God wants us to do. Our words can break down. Adults, yes, we've been on the receiving end of hurtful communication. We've heard that somebody said this about me, someone said this about my family, or someone lied about me. We've been on the receiving end and it hurts. So remember how you feel and guard yourself against doing the same thing to somebody else. But it's true. But does it need to be said? More often than not, no. I'm not talking about speaking truth about something that's an illegal matter or things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you just want to open your mouth to talk bad about somebody else because they're annoying you or bothering you, or they said something about you, so now I have a reason. No, that's not how Jesus Christ works, is it? Our words can break down. Isn't it amazing, adults in the room, that we can remember something? We can go back to a moment and remember details from a situation, from an occurrence where somebody said something to us that deeply wounded us. And we can go back, maybe it was when you were a child and it was something that a parent said that just deeply wounded you. And you can go back in time in your mind to that moment and remember what you were wearing, remember what room you were in, remember exactly the tone of voice that was said. And you can remember those things. Why? Because our words can break down. Yeah. Our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Words can speak death. Death to confidence. Death to unity. Death to even in some cases, and God forbid, you hear stories of teenagers that take their lives, and it goes back to online bullying and people saying things to them and just continually cutting them down. Our words are powerful. Our words can destroy. Our words can hurt. We must be careful. Our speech must be seasoned with salt and seasoned with grace, by God's grace. Our words can break down. The same mouth that can bring death to confidence and unity and things like that, the same mouth that can bring death can also bring life. The difference lies in how we use our words. How do we speak to others? Do we guard our tone when we're having a discussion with our spouse? Discussion is a nice way to say argument. Are we guarding? Have your words, think about this and be honest with yourself. Let's be honest in the house of God this morning. Let's not whitewash ourselves and make ourselves look better than we actually are. Have your words caused damage lately? Have your words broken somebody's spirit lately? Was there a time this past week where you lost your temper? Where you gossiped, where you spoke harshly against somebody because they bothered you? So I'm just going to say this. We are our own judge, aren't we? Our own judge and jury. And if someone does something to us, we're like, you know what? I have the right to tell you how I feel right now, Darren. Ooh. Right? It's pretty good, right?
That was.
Yeah. I did a lot of school plays as a kid. We feel like we have the right. Isn't it amazing how we can convince ourselves of that? Like, I can say whatever I want to because you said this, or I heard that you said this at least. So now I'm going to either go, I won't even go to you. I'll go to him and talk about him and how much of a big jerk he is. He's not. Okay. But see what I'm doing? We convince ourselves that we have the right. My wife forgets to do something, and I feel like now, because she didn't do what I asked her to do or whatever it may be, and things are, my schedule's being a little shifted now. Now I can tell her, hey, come on now. I asked you. You see what I mean? We think we have the right. What gives us the right to speak harshly to our spouse or to anyone? God, Lord, help us. What gives us the right? Who do we think we are as adults to think that we have the right when our kids make a mistake, or maybe they even do disobey a rule that you have, that we have the right to point the finger and treat them in such a way that we expect them to act like a full-grown adult? God help us in the words that we use, in the tone that we carry. Because, listen, our words can break down. And kids, I already talked to you, but I'm telling you, your words too, whether you're in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I don't care, kindergarten, the words that you say can hurt people. The words that you say can hurt. So we must be careful. Our words can break down. If you have spoken harshly this week to someone, maybe a child, maybe a spouse, maybe a friend, confess it to God. Today, we're going to have a time of prayer at the end of the message. And I encourage you, I challenge you, say, God, because this is what the Lord will do. He'll bring you back to that moment that you did it. Listen, you think your memory's good, God's is even better. And I'll say this, when we confess our sins and he's forgiven, he does forget those, thank God for that. But when God's trying to work on us, when God's trying to mold us and make us, I say, Lord, was there a time this week that I spoke unkindly to my wife or my kids? Because if so, I want to make it right, and I'll remember it. Because God's growing me. Maybe you need to make a phone call after service. Say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about this, and I know I said this, and I just want to let you know I'm sorry. I should have responded differently. That's what strengthens relationships. Not always being right. Because guess what? Every time I fight to be right in my relationships, even if I win the argument, I don't feel that great afterwards. Do any of you? No. We don't. Because then we got to go back and make it right. Our words can break down. Some of you need to confess it to God. You need to go to that person and apologize to the one that you hurt. Ask the Holy Spirit to guard your tongue. Lord, help me to bite my tongue this week, because you know what? I struggle with maybe your struggle is you always want to have the last word. Lord, help me to be able to temper that. Guard my tongue before you speak. Ask God for discernment. Help me not to say something I shouldn't say. Guard my tongue. Guard my words. Before you speak, ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? How about this one? Is it even necessary? Because oftentimes we don't need to say the things we say. We just want to say them because we think it'll make us feel better. Your words can break down. I mentioned the parents already. Your words shape your children. They shape your children. Spouses, husbands, and wives, your tone matters as much as the content of your conversation. I can't tell you how many times Marissa and I have been having a discussion. And I may be able to keep my... She's Puerto Rican. She can't control the temper. I give her grace on that one. No, I'm kidding. But I may be able to keep my voice lower and not... But I can be a real jerk with my word, even quietly. You can say at this level of volume, you can say something really mean. I wasn't yelling. I didn't yell. What a jerk I can be. Because it's not how loud you were, it's what you said. Oh, she got it. Oh, man, she caught me. Your tone matters as much as your content. Guard your voice. Church members, I can't tell you how many churches that I have seen through growing up in church, how words can split and destroy a church body. People start talking, complaining, but the pastor wearing weird shirts and preaching too long. people start complaining, and the enemy slips right and gets a little foothold and splits churches. Church members, guard yourself against murmuring, against complaining. It divides. It discourages. If you, someone comes to me and say, you know what, they start talking about this person. Say, hey, we're not doing that here. No, we're not about that. Nope. That is not who we are. God, guard our church from that. Protect our church from that, the lies of the enemy. No, let us commit to using our tongues wisely, because our words can break down. And lastly is this. Last point is this. Yes, our words can build up. Our words can break down. And number three, our words can bring hope. Our words can bring hope. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A word spoken in due season, how good is it? There's something special about a word, about a conversation had in due season, at just the right time. Some of you can go back to a time in your life when you were down and out, discouraged, and somebody, maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe a spouse, came and spoke a word of kindness or hope to you, and you say, man, you came at just the right time. Just when I needed it most. A simple, God loves you, can be life-changing to someone that's on the edge of despair. A simple, God's got you. Just the phrase, hey, you can do this. The Lord's with you. Spoken at the right time to a person in desperate need is life-changing. But there is no greater word of hope than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose again the third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That is Jesus Christ. That is his gospel. And there is no greater word of hope than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how is that message of hope spread? Our words. Our words can bring hope. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People don't come to faith in Christ by accident. They come when someone opens their mouth and speaks the truth of the gospel. I'm here today, pastor of Coastline Baptist Church, because somebody decided to share the gospel with my mom and dad before I was ever born. We don't come to faith by accident. We don't come to faith just by happenstance. No, it's through you using your voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You and I, my friend, are the representatives of Christ Jesus. We carry his message, the message of hope, the message of the gospel, to the broken, to the weary, to the lost. Our words can bring hope. And the question for you this morning is, are your words bringing hope to the hopeless? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ on your lips as often as it is in your heart? And maybe the problem is not that you're not talking about it, because you're just not thinking about how good you have it as a Christian. You're not thinking about the grace of God that has been lavishly poured on your life for your eternity, for your daily battle with sin and the world. And you don't even think about God's grace in your life. So of course you're not going to talk about it. Is the gospel on the edge of your lips? Share your testimony. Share what God has done for you. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Share your testimony. Speak words of life to someone who is discouraged. Invite a neighbor, invite a friend, invite a coworker to the house of God. Our words can bring hope. Talk about what Jesus has done for you. Talk about what God has given you. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be a pastor to proclaim the gospel. It is for all of us. You just need to care enough to speak out. Our words can bring hope. Let the words of my mouth, Psalm 19:14, our key verse today, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of our mouth, the things that we say, the conversations that we have, they spring up, they flow from the meditations of our heart. That's why David said it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. If we want to speak in a way that honors Christ, we must first think in a way that honors Christ. So make that your prayer. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations, the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It begins on the inside. The things we say, the conversations that we have, kids listening, it begins on the inside where you can ask God, help me to think about the right things, to think about things that are true and lovely and of good report, like it says in the book of Philippians. And God, help the things that I think about to be good things, true things, so that the words that I say reflect God. May we be people who speak truth in love and speak grace to those struggling and love to the unloved. During World War II, a Christian nurse served in a military hospital. This nurse was not a preacher, was not a pastor or a soldier. She was just a Christian nurse. That's all she was. That's all she was. But often as she would walk through that hospital, those hospital rooms, and she'd walk through those the line of beds with all the wounded soldiers, she would whisper a prayer in their ear, or she'd take some scripture and just whisper scripture to them. She'd hold hands with the dying. She'd offer quiet prayers over these broken bodies during World War II. And one day, a soldier who had been hostile toward religion, toward the things of God, called her over from his bed. And he was dying. But through tears, he said, I don't know much about God, but your words brought me peace when I thought there was none left. That nurse didn't stand behind a pulpit, but her words led a soul to eternity. She used her voice to bring hope. And so can you. So can you. But my past, I had such a rough past. How could God ever use me? Stop listening to the enemy. Those are his words. Because God says, let your body be presented as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. God can use anybody if they're willing. Your words can bring hope. Make Psalm 19:14 your daily prayer. Speak words that build. Hey, resist words that break. And proclaim words that bring hope. Your words are powerful. Hey, your words are powerful. So use them for God's glory. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.